Gravel Bicycle Race, Short Circuit Film Festival.
First Friday.
All things happening in downtown Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs Walkability Summit. Our Spacious Skies Survey.
The League of American Bicyclists Award.
A real smorgasbord this episode, so you don't want to miss it.
No, it's good.
Next on Loving the Springs, the podcast that celebrates the best and
elevates the rest.
You're listening to Studio 809 Podcasts. This is what community sounds like.
Yeah, so here we are at a kind of a special episode of Loving the Springs. No guests, so that means that the people that you really love to listen to and hear opine get to opine.
It's our turn.
The Trinity speaks.
It's wild, though. It feels a little bit like the end of summer because the kids are all going back to school.
Yes.
Like, I got caught over by Steele Elementary the other day, you know, waiting for all the parents to do their pickup. And it was 90 degrees outside. I'd just gotten back from my summer vacation, which was in Lake Country. And I'm like, how is summer already over? And I feel like we're in the heat of it.
Well, speaking of the heat, all I have to do is look at the thermometer and I'm ready for summer to be over.
Come you don't on. Like this 90, 92 degree weather?
No. I moved back home from Texas in order to escape that.
Well, wait a few hours. It'll change.
Right. I don't like to work out in the heat. So it means you have to get up early, whether you want a bike ride or a walk or even a dog walk, or you have to kind of wait till the sun goes down. But it's really quite lovely before 8 a.m. and then again after 8 p.m.
Yeah. And I still have a little bit of lawn to mow, which I'm ashamed of. I'm going to get rid of that over the next 12 months. I have a gas mower and I'm not going to get an electric mower because I'm not going to need a lawnmower anymore. But you shouldn't be running a gas mower in the heat of the day. That's bad for the ozone.
You had me. You shouldn't be running a gas mower.
Yeah. So if I'm going to mow, I'm not going to go out there and mow when it's 90 degrees. Then I don't think my neighbors want me to mow before 8. So I have
probably
a really
not.
Narrow window of opportunity.
Mow is one of the three stooges for a reason.
Yeah. But it only takes me 7 minutes to mow. So I really can't complain about it. Now I'm doing that right before dark.
You should just get a goat.
There's an idea, yeah.
I like it.
I have a lot of deer that work on it, but they're not...
Not fast that, enough.
Not that hungry, no. So what's on your mind, guys?
Well, you know me. I'm hitting the Burning Man, and I'm excited about that. But I'm just prepping and contributing to the local economy as I prep. So,
yeah, Al, I guess it's economic development, isn't it? You go to Burning Man. This is your 12th year, and you go out there and hype Colorado Springs and tell everybody to move to Colorado Springs. I hope not.
Yeah, I think that rubs off for sure. It's still a great place to live. There's no question about it. So, but Burning Man is an interesting community for a week. It's community compressed. I wish the whole world would be like that, but that's not how humans function. So it doesn't actually work that way in the real world.
How long does it take you to get all the dust out of your ear canals and fingernails? And
I don't think that ever is complete. I'd say 95%, it's probably in a month. And that other 5% kind of just shows up every now and again, you know, especially ear canals. Every once in a while, I'm like, that looks like the playa a year later. So,
Carrie, I can see you going to Burning Man.
Oh, definitely.
I think I would have a great time doing it once or twice. I'm super outgoing. I love meeting people, but I don't necessarily love crowds. So I think it'd be super fun to go. I love live music. I know the culture of it has got to be just so much fun. And, you know, from what I understand, like every different age group, every different interest. I mean, you'll have your corporate traders that are all of a sudden off for the weekend and enjoying that part of their life, to your kids that have grown up there going with their parents. And mm-hmm. I think it'd be a fun atmosphere to be in.
There's an airport. It's amazing what flies into the airport right at Burning Man. And it's a busy airport while it's there.
A bunch of private jets?
Not too many jets, but a lot of private planes. They're all private planes. They even had, for the first time last year, they call them mutant vehicles. So there's these giant vehicles that have been decorated like an art structure. And for the first time, there was a mutant airplane.
Whoa.
With fireworks and lasers coming off of it, which you don't normally see in the air. And the first time I saw it, I was like, I do not understand what this is. Because it was at night, and the plane that was flying was black, flat black. So you could not see the plane. All you could see what was coming off of it. And it's like, what is up there to
do
that?
You could generate UFO reports everywhere.
Absolutely. Everybody there was like, it's too big and too slow for just about anything.
Don't you have to get FAA approval for an aircraft?
They actually did. They did. Yeah, it's a legit airport with a tower and control. Yeah, it's one of the busiest airports for that week in the area. And there's Reno is right there. So, yeah, it's an amazing place. And it runs like a regular airport.
Just like the Aspen Airport on Christmas week.
That's a good way to think of it, but not that many jets.
Okay. To keep the ball rolling, I do want to give a kind of a safe streets update because that is my obsession.
Yes, it is.
I notice more disappointing behavior, sadly, than great behavior. But one thing I've noticed is that almost without fail, when I'm out there on my bicycle, every driver moves over and gives me that 3 feet of space.
You don't ride enough, Dave.
Clearly not. Okay. So it's not 100%.
Every driver, no. Most drivers, I would say yes. I think most people are driving, try and just get where they're going and not kill anybody in the process. But there are definitely some that's not their intention.
Well, I want to thank you, drivers. And I think some drivers probably don't understand that they're allowed to cross over double yellow lines. They're allowed to move over into the other lane, the oncoming traffic, and force those vehicles into the ditch in order to give you 3 feet of space.
No, they're supposed to wait. Oh, but there is a new law in Colorado. And you would think, really? We didn't already have this? If a school bus stops and puts out the stop sign, you now have to stop in both directions.
Oh, that's good to know.
Of the street. Unless there's a median.
Okay.
Okay? So think about that. In other states, of course you stop when you see the stop sign in both directions. But not in Colorado, not until July. So now it's a new law. So we need to tell people that, see the stop sign, you're on the street, stop in either direction.
Well, that's good to know. And, I think knowledge is a big part of the obstacle in a lot of cases, which is a great segue to roundabouts, which I just thought I'd mention. I think a lot of people, it's pretty bizarre how many people haven't been educated about how to navigate a roundabout. And so lately, especially, I think maybe it's because there's so many tourists in town, but there's so many people that I see stop, when they're about to enter a roundabout. They're being nice. I need to let that person who hasn't even entered the roundabout yet, I need to wait for them to enter and go around. And the fact is, you're supposed to go ahead and enter the roundabout as long as you're not going to hit somebody or cause somebody else to have to hit the brakes. It's a little more of a yield situation than a stop. It's pretty rare that you should have to stop.
If we did it right, and this is a pet peeve of mine, there would be no yield signs. Whoever is in front would go. That's how you drive. If you've ever been to Boston, if you have nose position, your hood is out in front of somebody else's hood, you're the person that goes.
I'm not sure Boston should really be a rule.
But it works. There's a lot of traffic and it works. Once you put up a yield sign, so somebody's in the traffic circle, they're just doing donuts around the roundabout, you have to wait because they're in the circle. So if everybody left space, slowed down, nobody would ever have to stop. And that's the intention of the roundabout. But once you put the yield sign up and somebody comes, and the way that you know this isn't working correctly is you'll get a backup of cars on the busy end of the street feeding it. There'll just be cars waiting because there's a steady stream of cars coming from another place. And it should never be that way. It should be boom. Just merge.
Yeah, I guess if they were leaving space,
everything
you could do
would
that.
Be a zipper.
Yeah.
And whoever's in front would just go. And they wouldn't pull up to the bumper of the car in front of them to ensure that you can't go. They would leave enough space and it would be a continuous zipper and it would work wonderfully. But that's not how we designed it. We messed it up.
Another good thing I've been noticing, I wanted to see if you've seen it, Carrie. It seems to me like there are more people on bikes this summer? I think it's e-bikes. I see a lot more people riding out there.
It's interesting because when I'm riding like recreationally or leisurely on the weekends, I kind of try and count, you know, e-bikes versus other bikes. And like now compared to obviously 5 years ago or anything, I think you're 100% right. But I'll be on the trail that goes out to like the Air Force Academy, but, you know, goes along the baseball fields and stuff and along Monument Valley Creek. Mm-hmm. And it's wild how many e-bikes you see. And I love it because I think it's putting and keeping people on bicycles that may not be on bicycles. It's giving them the ability to go a distance, you know, to get back on two wheels or to stay on two wheels when they might have decided to be on the couch instead.
Yeah, or in a car. I think it's fewer automobile trips and fewer couch sitting sessions.
And enjoy it. They're happy people. Because yeah. If they're struggling, they just up the assist.
Right.
And the smile comes back.
There's a tiny part of the, you know, super eco-environmentalist in me that thinks, well, you know, I wish they were just on acoustic bikes because of the mining that has to go into the batteries and all that. But the truth is that the embedded energy and the total footprint of an e-bike compared to an automobile is incredibly better. So
yeah.
More e-bikes and fewer cars on the road.
Well, and plus you have people that are, you know, out in the fresh air. You get a better view of your view on a bike.
Sure,
I mean,
yeah.
Everything goes by so quickly in a car. And if you're doing it right, you're paying attention to the road and the traffic, where especially once you're on one of our trails on a bike, whether it's an e-bike or a human-powered bike, I guess they're all human-powered, but pedal-only bike, you know, you have the time to look around. You can slow down. You can look up. You can look side to side. And well, of course, keep your eyes and your mind on the trail. You've got more space and more time to really enjoy a lot of the reason we specifically live here in Colorado Springs.
And the Air Force Academy has reopened their section of the old Santa Fe Trail.
Oh, that's great news.
It was closed for a while, so you can get back out there and enjoy it.
And I used the GoCOS app recently, and that's a good story. I reported some really horrific road conditions. And I mean, they were really bad and they had just been working on the road and it was failing miserably. I reported that 2 weeks later, they're out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of wheels, some people know that I have a elderly three-legged dog and he struggles because he's got arthritis left in that remaining rear leg. And I have finally decided to order him wheels. And so his wheels arrived this week and I need to put them together. I'm going to see if you can indeed teach an old dog new tricks. He's very much an off-road dog. He doesn't just walk down the sidewalk. He likes to go through people's gardens and yards. So
does it have knobby tires?
It does. They're not super knobby, but they've got some grip to them.
Gravel grinder.
All right. So
he's going to be asking you for e-assists.
Exactly. So my plans this weekend are to assemble his wheels and see if I can bring back some longer walks into his life. Because as a German short-haired pointer, he does everything with his nose and his brain still thinks he's 2 years old. But that rear leg certainly feels every 13 year of his life. So I will hopefully have some news to report back about wheels with my dog as well.
Very nice.
Well, I do have a list of cool things coming up. Shall we get into that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Before we leave the bicycle realm altogether, there are a few bicycle-oriented things. One is the Rampart Rager Gravel Bicycle Race, which surprisingly, Carrie will not be in.
I know. The date is just so wrong for everything else going on, but I am really excited to see that. And, you know, what better place to start and end than the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort? I mean, talk about both a human being, Tori, and a business who has just embraced the bicycle life and community. I mean, she hosts so many cool things from there. But at the end of the day, absolutely everything they do has bicycles as a focus. So I really love that that's coming up and going out of there.
A great destination.
Uh-huh.
August 23rd. So that's coming right up. So you don't have much time to register and put that on your calendar when you're listening to this episode, which we are recording, by the way, on August, is today the 15th?
It is.
Yeah.
August 15th.
And by the way, you know where we are? We are in a beautiful setting. Love this studio and
looking
the great view.
At the mountains, yes.
And you can see the mountains today.
Yes. Enough smoke.
Yeah.
Less smoke.
Yeah. We're at the Next Us, which is a really cool professional environment for entrepreneurs, especially entrepreneurs who are unusual. It's got a great vibe, and we thank them for partnering with Studio 809 Podcast to make this studio possible. Okay, one more thing that's a little bit bicycle-related, or at least active transportation-oriented, and that's coming up September 19th, the 2025 COS Walkability Summit. Loving the Springs Podcast is a sponsor of that, so I will definitely be there all day, so I look forward to seeing you there. And we're going to have Lelia come in and tell us the story. She's the organizer, and she'll be on, I think, the next episode of this podcast to fill us in a little bit more.
Do they use a consultant? I know there's a couple of consultants that do walkability studies. Dan Burden was one, but there are others.
This is a very grassroots operation. She has great aspirations. In fact, she really wants to start several workshop teams next year to do more than just talk about it. So this is the second summit she's organized, and mostly it's just been to get some visibility for the subject. And it's about anything that helps people navigate our city, mostly on foot, better. It has been focusing on Southeast Colorado Springs, where it's particularly pedestrian unfriendly, and trying to get that improved. But she really wants to expand into the entire city in 2026. So it should be an interesting summit. It doesn't cost anything to attend. The registration link is, they need to come up with a better link. So see the show notes. I'll put a link for registration in the show notes.
One other shout out, if you're interested in walking around our city, is transit is still free till the end of August. So if you haven't been on a bus ever in your life, here's your opportunity to just hop on for free and check it out.
That's such a cool program that happens every summer through the Department of Energy, correct? It's Clean Air. Oh, man, what's the name of it? But yeah, it's 3 full months of free bus fares, which is great for, you know, folks that are, you know, trying to figure out how to get out, get around with public transit, you know, folks that potentially don't drive or don't ride a bike. And it's really a great program that Mountain Metro has been able to offer for the past several summers.
Yeah, you can try it out, and it doesn't cost you anything to make a mistake. You could dedicate a day and say, I'm just going to try to get from here to there. And it's just like driving the freeways in LA. If you make a mistake, it costs you an hour.
No matter what mistake you make, it will cost you an hour.
And we cannot count on that program always being there.
No.
And speaking of buses, I'm going to be finally taking my first Mustang ride.
Ooh.
I'm going to be riding up to Union Station in Denver and getting on a train to take the train Ooh. To California for Ooh. A wedding. So I am going full tilt, low carbon footprint travel.
Just relax. It'll take longer than you think, but it's worth it.
I hope you have a good podcast to listen to.
A few. Let's see. We have some pretty interesting art on the table. These are really cool, what do you, I guess you'd call them, paintings.
Yep.
That you'll be able to see at Cottonwood Center for the Arts on First Friday and for the whole month of September.
I love First Fridays, and Cottonwood is such a cool place because, first of all, the amount of artists they're able to host there because of the size of their building and, you know, classes and studios and everything there. But yeah, this is a really cool one coming up. So First Friday is September 5th this year. The ones we're talking about, I mean, we were talking about them kind of looking like the Jetsons, but with a very tiki vibe.
Yeah.
Great, bold colors. I can't wait to see them at size actually hanging on the walls there.
So they've got two artists with really cool stuff. They're pretty neat, but I'll definitely be heading to Cottonwood Center for the Arts. So the opening reception is September 5th from 5 to 8 p.m. during First Friday. But you can go down there the entire month of September to see those.
I think that's one thing that First Friday does really well.
Yeah.
And obviously Cottonwood is downtown, and downtown has a very vibrant, active First Friday scene. So does Old Colorado City. So does Manitou Springs. And it's a great entry-level art tour for someone who might not think they are an art lover, because what it does is it not only opens these galleries that are all doing something at the same time, but the streets are full and you run into people and they have cocktails and mocktails, and it's not stuffy and it's not snooty. And it really encourages you to engage with the art, have conversations with other just 100% average people who, you know, might not know what the medium is or, you know, who the influences are. It really lets you engage with the art and the artists on a very human level. And so if for any reason you haven't done a First Friday, it hasn't been your jam, it's a great date night. It's a great girls night out. It's a great solo night. Pick one of the parts of town each Friday and check it out. You can go in and out of three, five, 10 galleries at a time. And then they're all tucked in, you know, kind of the shopping, eating districts of the various parts of town. So go early and have a drink or stick around later and have dinner afterwards. It's a really awesome way to get a lot of free or inexpensive entertainment and then, you know, support the part of town that really makes art vibrant.
Very well put. You really sound like an influencer.
I got to give a shout out to Platt Furniture.
Yes.
Which is an awesome gallery in the basement. And it's not downtown. And it has free parking. It's an amazing place. It's First Friday also. So yes, everything you said is correct.
It's kind of a hidden secret gem.
It is.
Because you wouldn't you'd never know to go out there. So you head out east on Platt and Platt Furniture is a great used furniture store,
yes.
But yeah, you go sub Platt Furniture and there's this enormous, enormous lower level with multiple artists, really cool, funky stuff. I know they usually have wine and sparkling water and stuff, and the crowd there is very, very cool. So definitely don't miss out on Platt Furniture, even though it's not in one of the three districts that I just mentioned.
First Friday is huge. If you try to do it all in one night, you really can't. You have to pick a spot or spots.
And Al, you mentioned before we were recording something else great about it, which is you can go in there and really look around and have fun, and nobody's pressuring you to buy. You don't feel like...
That's true of all of the First Friday. I have never been pressured. I mean, obviously, the goal is to support the artist. So if you do buy something, that's fantastic. Most of them have prints, so you don't have to spend $1,000 to get a piece of work. But yeah, it's definitely worth going and feeling that vibe of, wow, we do have an art scene in Colorado Springs.
Absolutely. And there are certain times of the year and certain exhibits that various galleries do that really make purchasing local art super affordable too.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Auric did one, and I believe it was called Anonymous. So everyone that submitted art, they were given the same dimensions. So it was all the same size pieces, and they weren't to sign it on the front. They could put their artist's name on the back, but all of these pieces hung, and you didn't know who the artist was. And you could purchase night of and take it home night of, which is interesting, because if you're not there for First Friday, you don't get to see all the art.
Right.
But you don't know until after you've committed, like, I want to buy that, who the artist is. And then usually around Christmas time, too, there's one of the alley galleries that does a holiday show. That same thing, people submit for that and are accepted, and you can choose to buy and take home that night, really, as holiday gifts. But I really love some of the smaller pieces and creative things that make it more affordable for someone who maybe is looking to buy their first piece of local art.
And picking something because you like it, not because of who did it.
100%. 100%. And I think that, like, the Anonymous one gave people a chance to get outside of their typical theme.
Yes.
Like someone who usually does landscapes all of a sudden could do a portrait or something else and kind of play around a little bit. Yeah. But we do have a fabulous local art scene.
Do.
And anyone who says differently has not been in our galleries.
Especially on a First Friday.
Yeah. And you mentioned downtown Colorado Springs is one of the cool places to go on First Friday. But speaking of downtown Colorado Springs, they are a partner with Studio 809 Podcast. So we want to thank them for being a member of this collective, and we're lucky that one of our co-hosts here, Carrie Simison, works for the Downtown Partnership. So you've got a really inside track. So I wanted to give you the mic and let you give us an update on what's going on.
Yeah, I am lucky enough to work for one of the coolest places in town.
That's what I hear.
Everything we do at the Downtown Partnership is to support the 1 square mile of downtown Colorado Springs. So people often ask us if we are the city, you know, if we're the Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. And really what we are with our four organizations that get very complicated are kind of like a Chamber of Commerce, but just for downtown Colorado Springs. And some of the cool stuff we've got going on right now, really the one that's big and new, is our Clean and Safe pilot program. We launched this on July 21st. And what we've been hearing kind of over the last 6 months on a little bit of a listening tour is that people think downtown isn't safe. And whether that's true or not, perception is reality. And so we have put together a plan along with a lot of partners that have helped us fund it.
You're going to bring in the National Guard?
No, we're not. We're actually doing this on a very human level.
Good.
Downtown Partnership has private security that patrols downtown really to help people on the non-emergency type stuff. And we weren't able to fund it at the level where they were there enough hours a day. Mm-hmm. So on July 21st, this new Clean and Safe pilot program increased both the hours and the areas covered by our private supplemental security. So now they're 16 hours a day, Sunday through Wednesday, which means they start at 6 a.m. and they're there till 10 p.m. And then on Thursday through Saturday, they start at 6 a.m. and they're there through midnight. So instead of, you know, winding down at 7 p.m. when, you know, some of the nightlife gets started, we actually have extra coverage for that. And again, it's not an emergency, but they're on the streets, they're patrolling in, you know, bright orange or bright yellow. So if you have a question or a problem with something, it's someone to grab. They're in and out of our businesses, engaging with them, helping with, you know, small disturbances and stuff like that. So that's been one of the big changes.
Quick question about that. I see them on bikes all the time. Are some of them on foot too, or are they all on bikes?
Yeah, some of them are on bikes. Some of them are on foot. It kind of depends on how far out they're going. So it's nice to have them both ways. But yeah, engage with them. They're super nice people. We work with a local company called Mercurial. We have forever, and they're specifically trained to do, you know, private security. But my favorite part of this program is our ambassador program. So the city used to have a summer program that was a volunteer-run program. Often you'd see the folks kind of around Acacia Park directing people to people that were lost, directing them other places. But what we've done is take this and actually be able to fund it and hire people to do these positions. And so we've got them Wednesday through Sundays. And this is a group of really friendly, high energy folks who love downtown. Some of them are retired and are looking for a way to still be involved in the community. Some of them have part-time jobs other places, but they connect with merchants, assist visitors in finding shopping, dining, and attractions, do some like light litter cleanup, and then connect some folks that have needs with services that they might need. So in the first 12 days that the ambassadors were on, and this just launched on July 24th, they've engaged with 228 businesses. They've assisted 172 visitors. They've engaged with 54 people experiencing homelessness. They helped escort a lost visitor over to the Fine Arts Center. And when they walked her in there, the folks at the Fine Arts Center were so excited to kind of hear the whole story. They gave her free admission. Wow. And they even welcomed the diplomatic liaison between the EU and the United States. And we've got some fun things we're doing with them just to get them to engage with the public in different ways. There's a British TV program. I can't remember the name of it is, but there's always kind of a challenge for it. And so our director of security has been giving them challenges like find the most famous person you can downtown, take a picture with them and send it in to us with your story. And, you know, each week we kind of get a winner from one of the ambassadors or, you know, find the visitor who's from the farthest away and get their story and share it with us. Because all of this, we're collecting as much data as possible to see, is it making a big enough impact that we can continue to fund it? The part that hasn't launched yet but is coming is dedicated outreach workers. So working with outreach workers from Homeward Pikes Peak, we will actually be able to, on the spot, if we've got someone experiencing a mental health issue or someone experiencing homelessness that wants services, to be able to call an outreach worker on the spot and talk to them versus being like, in 2 days from now, we can try and have someone get in touch with you. So all of these things put together are part of this pilot program that we're imagining we're going to see great success with. I mean, just the numbers from the ambassadors I've shown you already shows you like how much need there is for people to be engaging. But to be able to look at with this much help across these various different areas of public engagement, safety, cleanliness, et cetera, here's how it's changed downtown. And then be able to really have a template that we can give to other parts of town to do the same type of thing and continue to make greater Colorado Springs safer, cleaner, more friendly, more attractive to visitors, make locals want to visit the various parts of town, and make sure that when we've got businesses looking to relocate here, that they're having a good experience no matter what part of town they're in. And they see clean streets, they see friendly people, and they see access to services if there's a problem. So that's our big fun new thing happening downtown. If you're looking for more about it, if you go to downtowncs.com/clean, we keep updates there as things change. We'll be doing reports out to the community. We do have great partners, including the Chamber and EDC, the Colorado Springs Police Department, the Downtown Development Authority, the City's Housing and Homelessness Response Department, Springs Rescue Mission, Urban Renewal Authority, Visit Colorado Springs, and Widener Apartment Homes. So all of those businesses and organizations have put their money where their mouth is and are helping fund this pilot program to, you know, see what kind of success we have. So we're very, very grateful to them. We couldn't do it without them. So very excited about that. A couple other cool things that are happening. If you've been downtown, especially Tejon in the last several months, you know that the street has been under construction. Mm-hmm. We are just about to wrap construction on that first block. So we call it Restaurant Row. So it's that block on Tejon between Colorado Avenue and Pikes Peak. I believe by the time this podcast goes live, we should have the street back open in both directions. All You'll notice it's wider. That center lane where people used to park and kind of run across the street will be gone. Wider sidewalks, bigger patios, new trees down there that we've made sure that there's room for the root beds so the trees can actually grow into great canopies to help keep everything cool downtown.
Right.
Street lights, benches, etc. And then the construction right after Labor Day will move one block north to what we call the bar block. So that's between Pikes Peak and Kiowa. And because we don't need to do any underground
utilities
construction there, it should go quite a bit faster. But really, really excited. It looks awesome. And it's going to be so much more accessible on the sidewalks for people that want to walk side by side, that are pushing a stroller, that might be in a wheelchair. And then just to have consistent patio sizes outside. So if you want to enjoy our beautiful fall outdoor weather and the view of the mountain, no matter which restaurant you're looking at, you've got that. So very, very excited about that. And then we are also in the middle of updating the Experience Downtown Master Plan. And so what that master plan does is drive all of the work that we do at the Downtown Partnership. So it's priorities set by the community to make sure that we are working towards the downtown that the community wants. So there have been several opportunities already for public engagement for that. Mm-hmm. And we do have a current survey open where we're looking for more engagement on that. And that's open through August 22nd. And if you go to downtowncs.com/XDT2, that stands for Experience Downtown 2. So we'll put that link in the show notes, but we would love your input. It's a pretty short survey. It goes through the current priorities that have been identified and really asks the reader to order them on what they think the priority is. So would love as much community feedback as we can on that. And downtown-wise, I'll close with one more thing. We have our annual breakfast coming up on Friday, September 19th, same day as the Walkability Summit. That's early in the morning from 8 to 9 a.m. And this will actually give anyone that's in attendance a kind of sneak peek at where the Experience Downtown Master Plan starts, or give you a sneak peek on what's happening, because it won't actually be ready till next February. We will have some awards going for Downtown Stars, which are not lifetime achievement awards, but they are awards in the middle of what people are doing to recognize people that are making downtown awesome. You'll get a introduction to our interim CEO, Chelsea Gondek. So it should be a great morning. It's always one of those events that when people leave, they say, "That was really energizing. I can't wait to hear what's next." So limited tickets available, but if you head to downtowncs.com/breakfast, individual tickets or tables of 10 are available. We'd love to have you there to celebrate what's happened and really look forward into what's going on with Downtown Colorado Springs.
Sounds good.
That's a lot.
Is that all?
That is a lot. I do have a question.
Okay.
The benches.
Yes.
That are on Tejon.
Yes.
Which way do they face?
Let's see. I just saw some new ones on the west side of the street. I believe they face the businesses.
Good.
I believe they face the businesses.
I was in a small group of underground terrorists, I guess, urban terrorists, and we would actually turn the benches around so that instead of facing the street where nobody wants to look at a parked car in front of you, turn them to face the businesses. So we would do a few things. We were the people that were like, we want to make things better, but we can't get anybody to agree with us. So we just did it.
And good for you.
It's nice to think that, people who actually sit in the benches don't want to face the street.
The cars, right?
I'm sitting on a bench looking at the business that I might go into or might not go into.
Yeah, you really want to people watch. You mentioned the unhoused, and we have another podcast here at Studio 809 Podcast that's hosted by Homeward Pikes Peak, and just sat in on their session a few days ago for their next episode. The podcast is called A Place for Everyone, and they had a conversation with the Colorado Springs Fire Department's homeless outreach team, and fascinating, really fascinating stuff. So regardless of how interested or disinterested in this subject you are, I really want to recommend that you find the next episode of A Place for Everyone.
Yeah. I hope the security and the ambassadors are connected to the police operations center. And they're the ones that have the eye in the sky. And if you've ever looked up when you're on Tejon, you realize that you are on camera constantly. They can see every front of every building and the entire street. And the ability to see something that's about to happen and give those ambassadors and those security people just a heads up. You might want to head to this area just to keep an eye on what's going on.
That's right. You never know when Al Brody and his urban terrorists might be gathering.
With our ambassadors, it's great. They all have a backpack kind of full of resources that we give them. So we have a card that we are constantly updating contact numbers with, you know, the folks from the HOT team and the HOP team and our security team and other ways. They also are you know, loaded up with like cool stickers. And so if they're engaging with some kids and, you know, the kids are visiting from out of town, they can give them a sticker of Banana Cat, which of course everyone loves that yes. mural and dog poop bags, et cetera. Just kind of all the things to make their lives. If they see something, they can handle it on the spot. They don't
That's
have to
great.
Call someone else. And, but yeah, it's a great network of both the security team and the ambassadors are working very closely with the police department and the fire department. Good. So it's this, you know, hopefully huge net where we can catch almost everyone that needs us.
Yes.
Sounds pretty darn good. And we're just kind of entering the season where it's really the best season to be hanging out downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the 90-degree days are behind us. Then
you and that heat thing, it cools down in the evening. It's great to
most of the time.
Most of the year.
I want to mention the 9th Annual Colorado Short Circuit Film Festival. And this is hosted by the Independent Film Society of Colorado. And they are also content partners here at Studio 809 Podcast. So they do a podcast called Peak Film Forum. But they're putting on their Short Circuit Film Festival in the gym at the Ivy Wild School on September 5th, 6th, and 7th. So you just get to see a bunch of short films. And you can, you know, head over to Bristol's and get yourself a beer, stop and get some pizza or a burger or something like that.
Or the tobacco-smoked old-fashioned at Axe and the Oak. It might be the best cocktail in the city.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's drilling down to details. I like that.
Only an influencer would know about that. And then you go in the gym and watch these great, very entertaining short films. So that's worth a try. Our Spacious Skies, that's another survey that's been going on, Pikes Peak Regional Perspectives that the Pikes Peak Community Foundation has been spearheading. And my understanding is that survey is going to be open till sometime in September, I think. If you just go to ppcf.org, I think the survey pops right up, but we'll put a link in the show notes for that. So if you haven't completed that, Al, have you done that? Do you know?
I have not.
It's an interesting experience. We might have a session where we talk a little bit about the questions.
I'd like to hear them. Yeah.
And then the last thing on my list is the League of American Bicyclists 2025 Bicycle Friendly City Survey. Back to bicycles.
I love it.
Yeah.
Everything always comes back to bicycles.
As it should. The League of American Bicyclists gives any city that applies,
correct,
completes some questionnaires, and then they get a silver ranking if they meet certain qualifications, or they get a gold ranking if they meet certain qualifications. And it's a good way for a city to sort of do a checkup and a good way for a city to figure out, oh, here's some areas where we need some improvement. I think we've done a couple of previous surveys. We don't do it every year. I think 2019, 2023, we earned silver in those last two.
We did.
The survey is being done again now so that there can be a 2025 submission. And I think Bike Colorado Springs is managing that process. But I wanted to, one, encourage people to take the survey. And I thought maybe we could have a quick discussion just about what you think of how we're doing, especially, and where you think we can get better.
I'll speak for the 66-year-old self that I am. most of my contemporaries do not want to ride on the road anymore. And I was a bold person 10 years ago. I would ride anywhere and mix it up with traffic. I'm sure I've changed, but the traffic has changed. And it's not Colorado Springs traffic. It's all traffic. Anywhere I go, it's the same story. Maybe some are a little bit worse or better than others, but people are using phones. They're distracted. And if you're in a bike lane on a busy street, don't expect people to stay out of the bike lane. And don't expect cars not to enter the bike lane because they want to turn or stop and check their phone, whatever. So the things that used to be fairly, you could expect the behavior, it's a wild card now. And people will do the strangest things. So what I'm saying, and a long way around it, is no matter what facilities we put on the streets, if they're busy streets, I think many cyclists will stay off. That being said, the group that I ride with on Wednesday nights is a local cruiser ride. And we do ride on the streets, and we ride as a group, and we follow the laws as they should be. And it seems to work. It starts at 6, so the rush hour has ended. So I wouldn't say I never ride the streets, but even coming to this location from my home, it's 6.5 miles away. If I can stay on the trails, that's what I'm on. And I have to take a few streets. But even Cascade, which is, I'd say, a really good one, I don't feel confident on Cascade that nobody's going to enter the bike lane that shouldn't. That's a bit of my perspective of why people may not, even if we put the facilities there. Because the Bicycle Friendly Community Award is really based on who rides, not what you do to enable people to ride. It's about, are people riding? And that's the statistic you have to change. Electric bikes, that's, I think, a benefit. More people are riding. And then people getting hurt. And I think not only are we at a specific spot, we're getting worse. And it's not that bicyclists are getting worse. Motorcycles, you want to talk about something dangerous. Motorcycle injuries and fatalities are shooting up like twice what they were at the turn of the century. At a time when they should be getting better. We have better equipment, better brakes, better tires, more safety gear, more collision avoidance stuff, and more people are getting hurt and more people are getting killed on motorcycles and bicycles and as pedestrians.
Yeah, I ride the streets, and I don't, if there's a good alternative on a bicycle, then I'll stay off the streets. But I do not ride in fear. But I know what you mean. I know that when I'm riding in a bicycle lane or riding on a street where there is no bicycle lane, that there's a certain random chance that there's going to be some driver that's not paying any attention at all, and they may take me out. But my approach is, well, that could happen to me in a car too.
It could.
So I feel like I'm going to do the bike, and I think if enough of us eventually are on bicycles, then people will get more accustomed to it and start paying attention and watching for us more.
I love where we've put in bike lanes and that we've put them on streets adjacent to busy streets. You know, Cascade is decently busy, but it's not Nevada.
Yeah.
And so I often ride from home to work, which is only about 2.5 miles, but I am almost able to exclusively take bike lanes. And I guess what my wish regarding bike lanes would be is that we did have somebody kind of patrolling traffic, cars, et cetera, in the bike lanes more than we do. Because it's often, even just my short ride on Cascade, I'll have to bump out around someone who's decided to park and do a delivery out of the bike lane, or, you know, riding by CC, someone who's using it kind of as a second lane because eventually they're going to turn. And I don't think people are doing it because it's a bike lane. They're not cyclists, so they don't necessarily understand how unsafe they're making the bike lane for people that want to use it. Yeah. So if I'm riding along and all of a sudden I have to jut out left around your car because you've decided to park there to take a phone call or run in and get a prescription someplace, I mean, now I'm out in traffic. And yeah, traffic might not be watching for me because they do see that there's a bike lane there. So it's an education piece, but how do you, educate people and delivery drivers and et cetera if they're always just allowed to park there to do their thing. And, you know, I don't necessarily think we need to ticket people for doing that, but we need to address them. And, well, you know, I'm not sure many of us are comfortable actually like knocking on the window of some stranger that's parked there and be like, dude, you're in the bike lane, because people get aggressive on things like that. But I really do wish there was more engagement with the people that are blocking bike lanes, just on a friendly basis, saying these are here for a safety reason for cyclists, and, you know, maybe pull around the corner and have a little less convenient parking spot, but make sure that the people that are trying to get from point A to point B on their bikes are still safe.
This is an example of what the city could do versus what the city does. And I don't know what they did because I haven't checked. Vindicator Drive, which goes from Rock Rimmon Boulevard to Centennial. Can you picture that? So in Boulder, on the streets that have hills, not all of them, but some of them, they provide a very big ascending lane, the lane that you use to go up for bicycles, and no descending lane. Because going down a hill, it's not difficult to roll along at 30 miles an hour. And if the speed limit's 35, you're within reason of what you should be doing on the road downhill. Uphill, you can go 3, 4, 10 miles an hour. If you're in the Tour de France, 20 miles an hour, maybe. But most of us are not in the Tour de France. We're going single-digit numbers up this hill.
Yeah.
So they recently resurfaced Vindicator. And I sent a note to the city and said, here's your opportunity, because Flying W Ranch Road is wrong. It has bike lanes on both sides. And if you've been over Flying W Ranch Road, which is a really popular road because it's a hill, they have bike lanes on both sides. But what they should have is ascending lanes and then no descending lane, so that you could ride your bike the way the bike is going to be ridden and feel safe. So it was an opportunity to do the right thing. And I haven't been out there since they had set it up with the little plastic tabs to paint it, but I don't know what they did. I'm anxious to see what the outcome was. We could have done it right, or we could have done what we always do, and we'll see.
Well, hopefully we keep improving. And back to your people parking in the bike lane issue. You know, I've noticed Gold Camp Elementary School is somewhat frequently either in a car or on a bicycle. And there's a bicycle lane, I think there's a bicycle lane both directions on Cresta in front of Gold Camp Elementary School. But on school day afternoons, when there are a couple million soccer moms lined up in their cars to pick up their kids, they would be parked on Cresta, all along Cresta, in that bike lane.
Yes. It's not just that school. It's every school.
Well, they can't do that anymore because the city has put stanchions to keep vehicles from being able to get into that bike lane, which I think is great. And all of those people picking up their kids, you know, unless you're, you know, outside of the territory for that elementary school, you live within a few miles of that school. Wouldn't it be nice if your kids could just ride their bikes to and from that school? If we made our streets safe enough for bicyclists, then I think more parents would stay at home in their robe drinking coffee and send their kids out the front door on their bicycles to go to school.
It's wild. I feel like an old person when I say that. But I mean, I used to ride my bike to school.
Me too.
The town I grew up in wasn't huge. It was 30,000 people, but we had a partner town across the river that was 80,000 people. So even in the 80s, you know, it was 100,000 plus people in the two towns. And I lived, I don't know, six blocks from my grade school and a couple miles from my junior high. But I mean, walking and biking to school in the 80s, you know, was just totally a normal thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a latchkey kid, so mom set the egg timer in the morning. When it went off, you turned off the TV and walked out the door, got on your bike. But it's wild that it's become less and less normal. And whether that's, you know, actual safety issues or safety concerns or the size of the city or how people can physically get from their home to the school, it's a bummer. Like, it was such a sense of freedom. Because even though, you know, you locked your bike up and then you were supposed to come right home afterwards, again, instead of going from an almost windowless room into a bus or a car and then directly back into another house, you got that fresh air. You got that time to wind down, to spin your legs, to walk and, you know, sing and dawdle and all of that. And I mean, that's part of what childhood is to get to enjoy the space between. And spending so much time in rooms and in cars and in buses and back to another room, we just miss out on the outdoors.
Yeah, as long as you could get home in time to watch the Jetsons, you were good.
So when you're thinking of bicycle-friendly community, when I grew up in the Bronx in New York City, all of the schools were in residential neighborhoods. They were just on a block in a residential neighborhood. That's not where we put the schools now. We put them on a feeder street so that people can drive their kids to school, which doesn't make it friendly for walking or biking. I thought of the 1,000-foot drug-free school zone should also be a 1,000-foot car-free school zone. And then the last 1,000 feet, which is 2 blocks, to put it in perspective, 2 blocks. Your kid walks to and from your car for 2 blocks and gets a little bit of exercise. And there's not that congestion of all those cars right at the school in a bike lane. And the only place where it's not happening is where they put the stanchions up. Otherwise, that is standard practice in the morning, the drop-off zone, and in the afternoon, the pickup zone, which is usually the worst because everybody's waiting in the pickup zone.
Yeah, and that kind of chaps me a little bit, that most of those engines are running while they're sitting there waiting to pick up their kids.
Especially if it's hot.
Yeah.
Or cold.
Well, and if it's really hot or really cold, you might be forgiven, but there are long stretches of time when you can just roll down the windows and turn off the car. And you know, School District 11 is now putting school zones in front of the middle schools. They didn't used to do that, but they're finding that everybody's in such a hurry that it's just not safe.
One of the oddities of Colorado that I like to show people who come to visit, this is on the road that goes between Colorado Springs and Parker. Was it 89? I forget the number.
83.
And it's probably just to the east of the Castle Rock area. I'm not sure where. But it's a school zone where they slow you down to 55 miles an hour.
55.
School zone 55. And I think, wow, we got fast kids in Colorado. Just the cognitive dissonance of seeing a school zone sign and 55.
Well, if you hit a kid at 55, they're dead still. But it does give you a little more reaction time. So maybe there's a little bit more preventive.
But just the person who put that sign together said, yeah, it's not my kid. That's all I can say.
We've talked so much about so many good things that I don't think we can afford to go into a lot more detail about this.
No, it's a great award, and it's great to focus on the right things. And it's challenging. We are building a city that is not conducive to things that are a city.
But sometimes it looks like our city's working on it, you know? I think we are in some fashion.
That's why earlier Dave and I had this discussion. Brooklyn, which is one of the 5 boroughs in New York City, decided we're going to submit by ourselves and not be part of New York City. And they are the number one bicycle-friendly community based on this criteria in the country this year. And I have to, having ridden all over New York City in the 5 boroughs, right, and others, I can't imagine, and the people I know in Brooklyn that I talk to, they're like, oh yeah, sections of it are great. But if you look at all of Brooklyn, hell no. So you got to take it for what it's worth. It's a tool to help people improve their communities, and it's worth working on. But if you take it too seriously, you lose sight of the bigger picture.
So if you want to participate in the survey or just kind of read the report card and learn more about it, we'll put a link in the show notes. And I want to thank Bike Colorado Springs for working on the issue.
You're in Newark.
I do love our local bicycle community and bicycle advocates, whether that's the shops like Old Town Bike Shop and Criterium or the breweries that host weekly bike rides. There's one that goes out from Goat Patch. There's a couple that go out from Cerberus, Bicycle Colorado Springs, and the folks that are involved there. I mean, the people, you two included at the table, all 3 of us included at the table, if you value time on two or three wheels, you're involved in the bike community in some way here. And I mean, we just have to keep talking about it. I mean, having that conversation with everyone you meet, like, hey, have you been on a bike lately? You know, meeting someone and taking them out on a bike ride, suggesting that you go to brunch on a bike instead of driving down there.
Yeah.
There's so many little ways to just move the needle forward, even if it doesn't mean going from a silver to a gold. Like, let's just remind people that that's a way to get around, or walking is a way to get around. Like, anything we can do to spend one less hour, one less day in a car, I mean, both for the health of the human, the health of the city, the health of the environment. Like, we can do this a little step at a time, and it has to be just, you know, from a one-on-one basis. And eventually it's got to help. And every little step does help. So,
yep, we could be like Amsterdam one day. You never know.
Could be.
I did want to say one thing kind of about today's episode in general. I love how much opportunity there is for our community to engage with various organizations to make their opinions and make their desires heard. I think the hard part is getting these kind of surveys out to everyone. I mean, you have to meet people where they are. So I love that, you know, we're on a podcast talking about it, and you look at each of these individual organizations that are trying to get their surveys out. So they're going out through social media, they're going out through tabling at Food Truck Tuesday events. You know, how and where to get this information out is the hard part. So if you're listening to us, please go in and take one or more of these surveys, share it out to your network in any way you can, whether that's, you know, texting your friends that care, putting it on your Facebook page, sending it out through Instagram, you know, writing it down on a piece of paper and handing it to your analog friend to go there. Like, the thing that makes us all own Colorado Springs as our community is having the opportunity to help shape what it becomes. And that's what all these surveys are trying to do. So, I mean, talk about it, get involved. So often you hear people complain about, oh, I didn't vote for that, or this isn't what I want. These are the ways that we as community members can help shape it. You know, whether it goes our way or not, our opinion is being asked for across so many different topics in this community. So seek out these surveys and spend the 5 minutes or spend the 15 minutes, because we want this to be a community that serves all of the people that live there. And this is a way to do it.
Yeah. It's almost like voting.
Yeah.
Analog friend. I have never been called an analog friend, but I absolutely love that. I want to be your analog friend.
You know, Al, I videotape these, even though we don't publish the podcast in video form, like Taylor Swift's boyfriend does. Did you watch any of that?
No.
Oh, yes.
Pretty amazing. I've gotten started. I can't believe I'm going to watch probably 2 hours of
that. I have too many analog friends.
Anyway, I look later for a gem, a little moment of brilliance from the podcast that I can publish on
that was a moment.
YouTube. Don't you just hate it? They're always Carrie.
Hey.
Carrie, you provide moments of brilliance. I mean, it's all brilliant, but you always give us those nuggets.
Oh, well, thank you. It's because I can't help myself from talking constantly. And it's why I used to get in trouble at school all the time. But I so love being a part of Colorado Springs. And it took me a while to get to that point after I moved here. But once I realized what we have in this community, I can't say enough about what a blessing and an opportunity it is to actually live here in Colorado Springs. So I'm grateful for this outlet to be able to cheerlead to other people about it.
Well, you're a gem and we love you. So thanks for being here.
I have to reveal something. Carrie and I met in the analog world.
We did.
One day that might be a distant memory.
Or maybe we'll get back to it.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, probably will, one way or the other. So thanks for listening to the Loving the Springs podcast, where we celebrate the best and elevate the rest. And we found a lot to celebrate and elevate this time, didn't we?
Fantastic. Good one.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.